A beautiful song that God has given me to sing. To celebrate the birth of an amazing child. A baby. That he said he would send. And he did, after he had been silent for over 400 years. And I know he'd been silent because I had been listening. That's something I do a lot of, is to listen. Because you'd hardly call someone who talks a lot a wise man. And that is what Matthew referred to, or how he called me in his gospel, me and my fellow travelers. He said we were from the east. Well, you can clearly see that I'm from Persia by my robes. And some of us came from India, others cameled in from Arabia. But we were hardly, as the carol writer says, just looking at me. We little kings. I mean, I'm not that small, right? And we were known as magi. We weren't kings. Magi, a Persian word that means a holy man, a priest. Because we advised kings. And at times, we advised those who opposed kings. But what we did was we listened to God for them. We listen for God and what he had to say in the nighttime sky so that today he might call us astrologers. And that's how the story Pastor Jerry invited me here to tell you started. On the night I was taking a regular night sky reading, when a bright new star caught my eye, it was moving. It was in motion, so I ran and I checked my charts. And I could tell that it was moving toward the land of the Jews. And that's a land that my family has a connection to. Let me explain. Ancient Nebuchadnezzar, centuries before, when he invaded Jerusalem, he carried away part of the population, including a gifted young man named Daniel. He was gifted because he could interpret dreams. And he was so gifted that when my ancestors, the Persians, ran over the Babylonians and took over Jerusalem, they took Daniel into the same group of advisors, the same group of wise men that I'm part of today. And so it was in Daniel's writings that I discovered a prophecy. That God would someday send the world a new king of the Jews. And that was a message of hope, a Messiah for the Jewish people, because they were a people who felt their God had abandoned them. Because after fighting off the Egyptians for years, they were finally conquered by the Babylonians. And then in turn, the Assyrians, and after that, the Persians, and well, the Moabites controlled part of their nation for a time before Rome came in, conquered, occupied the nation, and began to tax them, just like they did most of the known world. But it was a hopeful message for the world, too. Because in Daniel's writings, it said, this new king would be so wise that people from around the world, all the nations, would flock to him as a wonderful counselor. And he would be such a powerful king. He would be known as a mighty God. But he would care for the people in such a way that he would be known as an everlasting father and a prince of peace. Which is why I sent word of my discovery of this star to my colleagues in other countries, assuming they had seen the star as I had and wondered, like me, what it meant. Would they caravan with me to follow the star? To see if such a special child had been born, an invitation about 20 other wise men accepted. As they arrived, escorted by their servants, many by military escort, for it is a dangerous world of robbers and wild animals that we live in. Giving us a caravan of close to 100, who by then, we magi imagine, were in search of a child who surely had been born. Which is why in our haste we veered away from following the star and went directly into Jerusalem. For where else would a new king of the Jews be expected to be found but in the capital of the Jews, Jerusalem? And of course, because of our size of the caravan and the wealth we carried, we made an entrance. So much so that it stirred up Herod and his advisors. They wondered, had we come as friends to trade, were we there as foes to raid and pillage? Well, assuring him, ours was a peaceful mission. We said we'd come in search of a baby who'd been born. We'd come following the star in the sky, the bright star that rested over their land. Strangely, what had been blindingly obvious to us, the star, Herod, and all the others in Jerusalem, they'd overlooked it. They'd ignored it. They just didn't understand its significance until they realized the distance we had traveled, the expense we had invested in our belief that the star was God's way of pointing to a new king, a king whose birth we'd come to celebrate with them, a king who potentially would be wiser and mightier than their great King Solomon. But instead of rejoicing, Herod was clearly disturbed, and he stomped off with his advisors, thankful, soon to return calmer, saying that his priests, his advisors, had even found in their writings something from a prophet named Micah, who also predicted the birth of a Messiah, that God was sending the Jews who would be born in Bethlehem in the land of Judah, a small village just miles away from Jerusalem, where Herod encouraged us to continue our search, asking that if we found this child, that we would return and tell him, so he could come and worship the child too. Well, taking leave of Herod, given the size of our caravan, when we arrived in Bethlehem, we overwhelmed the village. We had more in our caravan than there were the entire population. So the locals were happy to direct us immediately to a couple named Mary and Joseph, who they said had arrived the very night that star had first appeared in the sky. And because of the census, a lot of people had come to Bethlehem. It was Joseph's hometown. And the place was so crowded, his family was forced to put them up in a stable, even though Mary was heavy with child. Surprisingly, that same night she gave birth in the stable where they were put up, surrounded by animals. A son they claimed angels had told them to name Jesus, which means God saves. And how did they know? How were they sure that this was the child that we saw? They said that same night, shepherds came out of the fields. They left their sheep, claiming angels sent them to look for such a child. And how they would know when they found him was that he would be lying in a manger, an animal trough. So when we entered Joseph's house, we saw this child Jesus with his mother Mary. We knew he was the one. And one by one, we each bowed down and presented him the gifts that we brought to acknowledge him as God's special king. And even though some of us brought gifts of precious jewels, others fine silk, costly linens, Matthew in his gospel only mentions three of the gifts that we brought to symbolize just who this Jesus is. Matthew tells how we brought gold, precious gold, to symbolize how Jesus was born a king. Not that he became a king when he grew up, but that he was born a king. He was sent into the world as a king for people to follow. And Matthew tells how we brought frankincense, a very fragrant spice, one that the priest burned in the temple to mask the smell of the animal sacrifices. But it was burnt as a pleasing aroma to God, to symbolize how Jesus was a priest, that he would be the one that would intercede for man. Those who placed their faith in him, their trust in him, would intercede for them with God. And more, that this child Jesus was God himself. Now, how God stepped into the world in the person of Jesus as his babe born in the manger, that's beyond our ability to understand, but that's what your Bibles teach. And then the third gift that Matthew mentions is myrrh, another aromatic spice, one that when mixed with water or wine made a soothing anointment that when swallowed lessened pain. It was a pain reliever. And it was one that wealthy people used to mix in with the ingredients that helped prepare a body for burial, to mask the smell of the decay. Matthew mentions this to symbolize how at the same time this Jesus was fully God, he was also fully man, and was able to grow up and die in our place, to take the punishment we deserve upon himself. The punishment, not just physically, a horrendous death of crucifixion, but spiritually, of being completely cut off from God as he hung on the cross. Again, a mystery of the faith, as much a mystery of how Jesus was both fully God and fully man at the same time, how somehow God the Father was able to turn his back on God the Son. There was a rip in the Godhead. And that's an image that's caught in another song about a rose. It's called Above All, the chorus of which says, crucified, laid behind the stone, you live to die, rejected and alone. Like a rose, trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. The beautiful rose of Bethlehem, as Jesus took upon himself what we deserve. And after presenting our gifts to Jesus, God gave a number of us a shared dream, warning us not to return to Herod. That Herod's motivation was that he was jealous of the birth of a new king, and he just would put this child to death. And so after encountering Jesus, after seeing him, encountering him, God sent us a different way. A different way. And we came to be known as wise men. And that's the same promise God makes to each and every one of us. Because just as anyone, Herod, all the Jews in Jerusalem, could have seen that star in the sky and followed it, we wise men were the only ones who did. To find Jesus and find him we did, because God always reveals himself to those who seek him. That's one of the messages of our story. That God always reveals himself to those who seek him. And the fact that we weren't Jews is significant because Jesus didn't come into the world as just the king of the Jews. He came as God's Savior for all people. So it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or not. whether you're rich or poor, male or female. Doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. Jesus came for you. Our story shows he'll reveal himself to anyone who seeks him. He'll reveal himself to you. And while you can imagine how dangerous our trip must have been following the star, did we cross mountains? We waded through rivers. We slogged through a desert wilderness. Following that star, our story shows that when you're willing to let God lead you, he will. He will lead you through the day-to-day, everyday situations of your life. Even those times when there's no clear-cut answer as to which way you are to go. Because God's promise found in your Bibles, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, is that if you trust in God with all your heart, you lean not on your own understanding. But if you seek his will in all that you do, he will make your path clear to you. Just as he did to us after we met Jesus, when God sent us a different way. Showing how ours is not just a Christmas story, it's a gospel story. God inspired Matthew to tell so you'd know that God loves you so much. He stepped into the world as a baby, born in a stinky stable, to be placed in an animal trough. He didn't come in his power and his might. He came to show you that he didn't come to take advantage of you. He came as a baby so that he could grow up and die for you. The beautiful Rose of Bethlehem, who, if you seek him, will reveal himself to you. Who, if you follow him, will lead you every step of the way, every day of your life, toward making you a wise man too. Tonight, is Jesus calling you to seek him? To know him? If you're here tonight and you're a believer, that's great. But then the question becomes, who does God want you to tell about Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly